Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we dive into the impeachment madness, the new IG report, and give you analysis that no one else is giving. And we tell you what President Trump was actually doing while all this hysteria of the ruling class was happening in the halls of Congress. Before we get going, please take out your phone right now, open your podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show, make sure you're subscribed. Press subscribe and then scroll down, press 5 stars and leave a review. Very important, and get a friend to do the same. Make sure you are subscribed. This is Charlie Kirk, host of The Charlie Kirk Show, your home of conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. Wow, what a news day. Today was Bring Your Democrat Donor to Work Day, and the big IG report was dropped that we were so anticipating for so many months. And I'll be honest with you, I'm just so disappointed that the IG report did not go as far as many of us wished it would have, which would have had specific and direct criminal referrals. Bill Barr and John Durham went out and repudiated this report, and we'll dive into that in depth. But first, why are we even having a public impeachment hearing today? Democrats, they clearly want to distract the American people from the historic abuse in our intelligence community through the IG report. And they also wanted to throw smokescreen and distraction away from the failure that is the Democrat primary. You know, I was just back with my family in Chicago, and I was talking to them, and they have some really good insight. And I asked them, I said, what are you guys hearing about, you know, the Democrats and running for president in our local area? And they said, even the most Democrat Democrats in Chicago, like the people that were phone banking for Obama, the people that were carrying the Obama flags on rooftops in negative 38 degree weather for Barack Obama, even they think Donald Trump is well positioned to win re-election in 2020, and they don't feel inspired at all. And I was talking to other people in Chicago about where they think the direction of the Democrat Party is going, and they say, look, we hate Trump, we hate what he tweets, we hate everything about him, but they might still vote for Donald Trump because they can't argue with the results, and they are so uninspired by this Democrat field. And to hear that kind of insight and to get that firsthand knowledge was really incredible, and I have to agree with it. I mean, I look at Buttigieg, and I got to tell you, you know, my father said it the best, and I thought it was just a home run. He said, look, I've been watching the impeachment hearings. Buttigieg would be lucky to be one of the lower-level Congress people in one of these impeachment hearings, let alone president of the United States. Just based on qualifications, charisma, background, he's got nothing. He was a mediocre mayor of a small city in the Midwest and did a pretty bad job of it, and has done a pretty bad job of it. And so the question is, why are they doing this? They're continuing the impeachment push while also having a failure of a Democrat primary because they're freaking out that President Trump is actually succeeding. And we're going to ask one really important question. Someone has gone back into hiding. Someone who's done 200,000 cable news hits. I'm only exaggerating slightly. But someone who's done a ton of cable news hits recently has gone back into hiding, and his actions are very, very telling. But first, you know what feels great? Paying off high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate, and saving money. Refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay, much lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 20% APR. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. No application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, no prepayment penalties. The online application is quick and easy. You can apply right from your phone. Plus, you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. LightStream believes that when you have good credit, you deserve a low rate and great service, and that's exactly what they deliver. Just for my listeners, apply now to get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Kirk. That's lightstream.com/Kirk for an additional discount. LightStream.com/Kirk. KIRK. You guys won't regret it. Great service. Use it today.
So today, Democrats have called two, quote, witnesses to testify. They're not witnesses, by the way. It was bring your Democrat donor to work day to testify along with GOP Intelligence Committee counsel Steve Castor. So let's talk about the main characters. Now, we went through the past that we had the deep state murder on the Orient Express, Marie Yovanovitch. You had Ambassador Sondland. You had Lieutenant Colonel Vindman there in full uniform, which just bothers me. He testifies against the president, and then he goes back to work 30 feet down the hall in the very same White House. Nevertheless, here are some of the characters we had today. Number one, Daniel Goldman, the majority counsel for Adam Schiff's Intelligence Committee, and Barry Berkey, majority counsel for Jerry Nadler's Judiciary Committee. So what do they both have in common? One, they're both major Democrat donors. Two, Berkey is a huge Democrat donor, contributing, get this, $105,000, $180 to various Democrats, including the DNC, DSCC, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. So let's just make this perfectly clear. Burke, he has donated nearly double the median average income for an individual in America to Democrat candidates. So the average income in America always has been hanging around $50,000, $55,000, about $60,000 for a family. He's donated double that to Democrats. Double. He's not just an average testimony. He is a deep, in the weeds Democrat donor. And Burke's contributions make David Goldman's massive $36,000 to Hillary, Obama, the DCCC, Doug Jones, Robert Francis O'Rourke, and Max Rose to look like small potatoes. Greg Stubbe points out just how absurd this testimony is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've never seen a more partisan spectacle than what I've witnessed here today. Democrats want the rules to apply when it benefits them and not to apply when Republicans invoke them. 9 hours ago now, Mr. Burke, a hired gun for the Democrats, got 30 minutes to spread his partisan rhetoric and then 45 minutes to cross-examine witnesses. That's 70 minutes more than most of the members of this committee who have been elected by their districts to serve in the United States Congress. And Mr. Burke is an unelected New York lawyer specifically brought in by the Democrats to give his opinion. A politically biased consultant who has given hundreds of thousands of dollars in federal elections to the likes of ActBlue, Hillary Clinton, Obama, and Biden. Mr. Burke gave over $5,000 alone to Hillary Clinton for her presidential race. No wonder why he has an axe to grind. Mr. Burke is a white-collar criminal defense lawyer who brags on his website of getting New York financial brokers deferred prosecution for tax fraud and fund managers off for insider trading charges. And Mr. Burke was able to say whatever he wanted to say without swearing an oath to his testimony that it would be truthful. So he can sit before this committee, not as a fact witness, and directly lie to the American people without any threat of criminal prosecution. Makes sense. He's a white-collar criminal defense lawyer. I'm sure he didn't want to incriminate himself.
But what's going on with Burke, though? Let's just dive into this a little bit. And I know some of you guys are so sick and tired of this, and I'm sick and tired of this. I don't want to talk to you about Burke. I don't care about this Democrat donor. I don't care what he has to say. I only care because I love my country, okay? I only care because I love my country, and my country's under attack because they're attacking our president who's been defending our country. That's the only reason I'm talking to you about Burke right now, okay? But after Burke goes on a 45-minute diatribe against the president, the Republicans brought up that he can't, quote, impugn the character of the president, end quote. But here's what Jerry Nadler said in response. Roll tape.
Mr. Castor is recognized for 30 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
Mr. Castor is recognized for 30 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, the witness has violated Rule 17, and my point of order should be heard.
Point of order.
The witness has used language which impugns the motives of the president and suggests he's disloyal to his country. And those words should be stricken from the record and taken down.
The point of order is not sustained. Witnesses are not subject to the rules of decorum.
Appeal the ruling of the chair.
In the same way, members are. The topic of the hearing is the president's misconduct, so none of us should find it surprising that we are hearing testimony that is critical of the president. I do not find that the witness's comments are disorderly. I find they are pertinent to the subject matter of this hearing. The witness would be able to continue, except that his time has expired. Mr. Castor is
Mr.
recognized.
Chairman, it's not.
The gentleman
Mr.
will suspend.
Chairman, my point of order is not that his words are disorderly. They are unparliamentary. They violate the rules of the House. They should be taken down. This is not about his conduct. He's talking about the motives
the
and
suspend.
The character of the President
the
of the United States.
The gentleman will suspend.
Then, when it's brought up that the, quote, witnesses, Burke and Castor, weren't sworn in, Nadler says that Burke was not a witness, and he, in fact, the counsel for the committee. Listen to this.
General of the State is parliamentary inquiry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pursuant to Rule 7B of the House rules, the chairman is allowed to administer an oath. not mandated to, but it has been the practice of this committee to administer oaths to witnesses. I'm wondering why we have not administered the oath in this situation.
I'm going to administer the oath to the two witnesses who are now coming up before us to make presentation. The two gentlemen who just testified were not witnesses. They were staff. They were making opening statements for the committees. We will now administer an oath to Mr. Castor and Mr. Goldman, who are now testifying in the capacity of witness.
Mr. Chairman, my point of order is this. In the previous point of order issued by Mr. Johnson of Louisiana, you ruled against his point of order because you said that Mr. Burke was a witness. You have just told us he was not a witness, but he was a staffer. As such, a staffer must avoid impugning motivations. And if you're
Will you let him finish his point of order,
please? Made his point of order.
No, Mr. Chairman, I haven't completed yet. The rule requires that members and staff not impugn the motivations of the president. What you ruled was that he was a witness. You've just told us he wasn't a witness. My point of order is that you were out of order in your ruling.
So how much does it cost to actually serve as both a witness and the person responsible for questioning other witnesses? I've never heard of anything like this before. Apparently, the price tag is about $105,180 in donations to Democrats. And once Burke left the witness stand, Daniel Goldman took his seat. But here's the real question. Somebody's missing. Someone's totally missing from this conversation. I mean, I could not turn on MSNBC, CNN. I couldn't open up the New York Times. I couldn't go across any cable news channel in the last 2.5-3 years without seeing Adam Schiff, or as President Trump calls him, Shifty Schiff. Where's Adam Schiff? Why did Goldman take the witness stand and not Schiff? They are, after all, testifying on the Schiff report. So when it came to Ken Starr and the Starr report, Ken Starr testified. Ken Starr is an honorary board member at Turning Point USA. I have to slide that in there. When it came to the Mueller report, Bob Mueller testified. So when it came to the Schiff report, where is Adam Schiff? Why is he afraid to undergo cross-examination on the results of his own report? I got two words for you. Actually, four words. Doug Collins, Matt Gaetz, and I got two more words. Jim Jordan. Six words. That's why Adam Schiff was not there today. He knew people like Doug Collins, Matt Gaetz, and Jim Jordan would have rained fire from the heavens on him like he deserved. Let's listen to Doug Collins, who asked this question perfectly.
That's why Mr. Goldman is here. That's why Mr. Burke is here. That's why we're going through this charade of staff having to answer staff questions. And basically, when we don't like how it's going, we start asking staff on staff and getting into a staff argument. Where's Adam? Where's Adam? It's his report, his name. Mr. Goldman, you're a great attorney, but you're not Adam Schiff, and you don't wear a pen.
And we can't forget Congressman Ratcliffe, who has also been terrific. So where is Adam Schiff, and what is he afraid of? Does he not want to appear under oath? Adam Schiff, I got some questions for you. 5 minutes, that's all I want, Adam Schiff. Let's play this right here. Let's imagine I, Charlie Kirk, who have no immediate plans or no future plans to be a member of Congress, by the way. But let's just imagine I had the opportunity to cross-examine Adam Schiff. By the way, can we just talk for a second that Jerry Nadler didn't actually swear in any of the people today? That they were actually not under oath? Which I found to be astronomically bizarre. Let's just put it that way. Nevertheless, let's imagine I was interviewing or I was able to cross-examine Adam Schiff. Excuse me, Congressman Schiff. Thank you for being here and for dividing our country so miserably over the last 3 years. Who is the whistleblower? What are the details of your contact with the whistleblower? Congressman Schiff, what are the details surrounding your subpoenas of various private phone records, including those belonging to the president's private attorney, members of the press, and Devin Nunes, Schiff's political opponent? Adam Schiff, of course, would not answer any of these questions if I asked them. But Daniel Goldman refused to answer that question. He even says, quote, I'm not going to tell you how we conducted the investigation, end quote. This is shocking. Roll tape.
Well, I'm not going to get into the deliberations of our investigation with you. And I will tell you the reason it was included in the report is because the calls were surrounding important evidence to our investigation.
So why did Shifty Schiff send his counsel in to refuse to answer a question when he could have done it himself? Schiff should have absolutely been forced to testify under oath. But while Goldman was there instead of Schiff, he made a shocking admission. But first, Grove Collaborative is the only online marketplace that delivers all natural home, beauty, and personal care products directly to you. Grove takes the guesswork out of going green Every Grove product is guaranteed to be good for you, your family, your home, and even the planet. Grove delivers all your home essentials right to your door. We do this at Turning Point USA, and you should too. They have a huge selection of sustainable and plant-based products, including all the big brands I love and trust, like Mrs. Meyers and Method. Everything we carry is safer for you, better for the planet, and it really works. In place of harsh chemicals and natural ingredients that smell fresh and leave your home sparkling, we're all busy, and I know that I don't have time to waste buying detergent and toilet paper, and neither do you, and neither does our Turning Point USA staff, which is why we use Grove. They have everything I need in one place. They have the best selection of natural home and personal products, things for the house, my kids, my dog, and even some fun personal things for me. Their site is so easy to use. They offer recurring shipments, and they deliver everything right to your door. I never have to worry about running out of things and having to take a sudden trip to the store. So right now, join over 500,000 families who trust Grove Collaborative to make their homes happier and healthier. So here's what you do. You can choose from 3 limited edition scents from Mrs. Meyers, like peppermint, orange clove, and Iowa pine. You can relax this holiday season knowing Grove has got your back. Save time and money this holiday season by shopping with Grove. Order all your holiday essentials in one place. So right now, for a limited time, when my listeners go to grove.co, that's grove.co/Kirk, you'll get a free 5-piece set from Mrs. Meyers in a festive Christmas scent like peppermint or Iowa pine. Go to grove.co/Kirk to get this exclusive Christmas offer. grove.co/Kirk. So Doug Collins, in his questioning of Daniel Goldman, asked if he could identify a quid pro quo when he saw one. But listen to what Goldman says. Roll tape.
Did he ask for something, request something, and hold something of value?
He did. George Kent testified that
I think I'll do what you did. George Kent testified this. I'm asking about not George Kent. I'm asking about this question.
Right, but it's important context.
It's not. Answer this question. Did he or did he not? Either Joe Biden's a liar telling a story to make people impressed, or he actually did this. Which is it?
He did it pursuant to U.S. official policy.
So he did it in withholding actual dollars, actual thing, holding this out there. So Joe Biden, of everybody that we discussed about, is the only one that's done a quid pro quo. He's the only one that's used taxpayer dollars to actually threaten a foreign government.
So Goldman admits that Joe Biden actually engaged in a quid pro quo. But by his logic, this quid pro quo is okay because there was, quote, broad international support behind Joe Biden and the Obama administration pursuing this quid pro quo. So when it serves a global interest, essentially not America's interest, to pressure Ukraine, it's permissible. Let's word it a different way. So when it serves the Biden crime syndicate, it's fine. It's perfectly permissible. But when Trump is accused of doing anything remotely similar, it's impeachable. Representative Louis Gohmert brings up an absolutely incredible point. Louis is a dear friend. Louis is a patriot. He's terrific. And it all relates to this.
And let me tell you, those that think you've done something special here, you have set the bar so low, I'm afraid it's irreparable. I mean, just think, we've had people already mention, you know, the next president, Joe Biden, we're told, you know, gee, he may be the next president. Well, we've already got the forms. All we have to do is eliminate Donald Trump's name and put Joe Biden's name in there because he's on video. He and his son, he basically has admitted to the crime that's being hoisted on the president improperly.
So if Joe Biden, by some incredible feat of electoral magic, if he finally figures out what state he's in, which, by the way, he's bumbling and fumbling, he's an absolute. It's, and people say, oh, this is so sad. You know, kind of pause here. I'm going to pause from the show flow. Oh, it's so sad. I feel so sad for Joe Biden. Oh, really? We have to feel sympathy for someone who allowed his son to sell out our country to China. This is what we must feel sorry for. Oh, I feel so sorry for Joe Biden. My heart goes out for him. He's running for president. You should be terrified. Your sympathy should be translated into not just skepticism, but a fire alarm that he should get anywhere close to power. So if by any feat of electoral magic, he should defeat Donald Trump in 2020, all we would have to do, should we choose to, is replace Donald Trump's name in these impeachment reports with Joe Biden, and we'd have an ironclad case against President Biden for abuse of office. Now, I have been ahead of the curve here. Did you know you can impeach former office holders right now? So why don't we impeach Joe Biden? Joe Biden did far worse than what they're accusing President Trump of. Let's impeach Joe Biden right now. In fact, we would have a video admission of Biden engaging in a quid pro quo and Daniel Goldman agreeing that his actions are impeachable. So after 9 hours of hearings, before we move on to this bombshell IG report, that all the cards on the table, I think it was a little bit of shy. It was almost like a tongue lashing with no punishment. It was almost like, don't do that again, finger waving. to the young kid that's been going around and spying on the neighbors because they don't like his politics. If you understand the reference, I'm sure you're laughing. If you don't, I'll end the metaphor right there. But after 9 hours of these hearings, I want to play one last clip from today's sham that perfectly wraps up what we have seen today and, in fact, what Democrats have been doing for the past 2 months. And it's my friend, Representative Matt Gaetz. He was on our show, Charlie Kirk Show. You can go back in the archives and download it. In fact, it's one of the most impressive evaluations of this Democrat hoax.
You said in your opening statement that there is nothing more urgent than impeachment right now. This is the most urgent thing we could possibly do. Well, you know what? If you're a senior right now and you can't afford your prescription drugs, that's more urgent than this. If you're a manufacturer wanting to dominate the Western Hemisphere with the passage of the USMCA, that is more urgent. If you're a farmer who wants to open markets so that your family can survive and thrive, that is a lot more urgent than this partisan process. If you're a desperate family member watching someone succumb to addiction, solving the opioid problem, probably more urgent than this partisan impeachment. If you're a member of the next generation, dealing with the challenges of extinction and climate change, a budget that's out of control, driving up the credit card of young people in this country and what they'll have to pay back as a consequence of our poor decisions, likely more urgent. But House Democrats have failed at all of these things. Matter of fact, I'd say the only thing under the Christmas tree for most Americans would be a lump of coal, but I think they're against coal too. The only thing under the Christmas tree for Americans would be impeachment and investigations. I've heard over and over Democrats say that this is all about the president's personal interest and that he abandoned the national interest. And it begs an analysis of how the nation is doing. In November, 266,000 jobs created, 80,000 over the average, 500,000 more manufacturing jobs in the Trump presidency, 700,000 construction jobs. We are doing better than ever before. The American people are thriving. Why won't you help us move along the critical issues that are far more important than your partisan impeachment?
And voters in all of the important battleground states are taking notice of what Representative Gaetz points out, that the real work of helping Americans is not getting done. So, for example, no USMCA, although we're hearing the first rumblings that it's beginning to finally move 4 or 5 months late. Credit to our friend Jared Kushner for helping get this done ahead of schedule, knowing that it could get clogged up in the House of Representatives. And it's disproving the point that the House can walk and chew gum. Number two, no prescription drug price legislation. Number three, no infrastructure at all. Number four, no immigration reform. So this is from Firehouse Strategies. Here is the newest polling in three key battleground states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. In Michigan, Trump is polling ahead of Biden by 5 points. Sanders by 6 points. This is Michigan. Michigan that Trump barely won against Hillary. Do I hear a landslide coming? Because I hear something happening. It might be a helicopter over our place of headquarters here at Turning Point USA, or it might be a landslide. Buttigieg by 11 points. Trump up by 11 points against Buttigieg, the freshman congressman, the wannabe congressman is what I call him. He's not even a state rep. He's running for the highest office in the land. And Bloomberg by 11 points. And Pennsylvania, this is according to Firehouse Strategies. In Pennsylvania, Trump continues to do well against the competition with the president, leading Biden by 4 percentage points, Warren by 7 points, Sanders by 11 points, and Buttigieg by 6 points, and Bloomberg by 4 points. Wisconsin was President Trump's best state in the round of battleground polling against almost each of his Democrat challengers. President Trump held a double-digit lead. Take that, Nancy Pelosi and you impeachment hawks. The president is currently running up 9 percentage points against Biden, 12 against Warren, 13 against Sanders, 11 against Buttigieg, and 12 against the $56 billion man, Bloomberg, who just wants to go on some vanity project to try to spend his money on something that will benefit himself. Previously, Wisconsin was the president's worst performing state in this same poll. What a change a few months and an impeachment has made in Wisconsin. Amongst nonpartisan voters, Wisconsinites favored President Trump by double digits. For example, against Senator Elizabeth Warren, Trump led... Oh my goodness. You ready for this? President Trump led by 18 points among nonpartisans. In this same poll, Trump trailed all these competitors until impeachment began in late September and early October. What we are seeing is a total boomerang in the favor of President Trump. But despite all this data, it looks like Democrats will continue to barrel towards impeachment of President Trump. And guess what? I hope you guys throttle it, because the more you go towards this ridiculous sham of an impeachment, the more our great president continues to surge in the polls. And we found out today about this Inspector General report. I am going to take it apart piece by piece, and we might even have to do even more examination tomorrow on the Charlie Kirk Show, because there was just so much there. But first, Did you guys know about Wolf and Shepard? We talked about this. Mr. Producer right now, he's got his amazing watch, and he's also wearing his Wolf and Shepard shoes. So Wolf and Shepard shoes make the most comfortable dress shoes for people who are out there to get stuff done. I know it's a bold claim, I know, but these guys actually back it up. In fact, they recently had a guy not only run, but win a half marathon in these shoes. I couldn't believe it. So I said, fact check, fake news. And it turns out it was true. Wolf and Shepard, unbelievable. Wolf and Shepard was founded by a former track athlete and Adidas designer who quickly realized none of the amazing innovations being applied to athletic shoes were making their way to dress shoes. By combining soft Italian leather, innovative support and cushioning, as well as a bunch of other upgrades, they've created dress shoes you can literally wear all day, discomfort-free. So listen up. Right now, through December 13th, Wolf and Shepard is offering $101 off any purchase over $300 when you use the promo code CHARLIE. This is by far their biggest sale of the year, so you do not want to miss out. So visit wolfandshepard.com/charlie and use that promo code CHARLIE. Again, wolfandshepard.com/charlie. And yeah, I know you know how to spell Shepard, but I'll spell it for you just in case. SHEPHERD.com/charlie, and you get $101 off any purchase. So comfortable. It's a producer wear these shoes all the time. wolfandshepard.com/charlie. All right, today was the big day. It was hyped up a lot. I read parts of it. I was underwhelmed. But today came out the long-awaited Inspector General report into the FISA originations and the warrants obtained by the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So what can only be described as an extremely busy news day, they decide to drop it this day. So be it. What we found out, Horowitz concludes that there was no bias. Okay, I just want to stop right here. I'm so upset, okay? This is me being upset. These reports are a sham, okay? The deep state is alive. This deep state is alive and well. I pray for the rule of law to come in on these people. I really do, because Horowitz concluded there was, quote, no bias in the FBI or the Department of Justice launching an unprecedented investigation into a major party presidential candidate. Okay. They also found that it was appropriately predicated, meaning that it was warranted. I totally disagree with all this. This is plainly ridiculous, all the facts that we know. We have been predicting that the IG report would disappoint and that the Durham report was really be the most telling. But I'll get to that in just a second. Here's what President Trump had to say to the reporters about the IG report. Roll tape.
Well, they fabricated evidence and they lied to the courts and they did all sorts of things to have it go their way. And this was something that we can never allow to happen again. The report actually, and especially when you look into it and the details of the report, are far worse than anything I would have even imagined. What they were doing and what they would have done if I didn't make a certain move that was a very important move, because it would have been even worse, if that's possible. And they might have been able to succeed. This was an overthrow of government. This was an attempted overthrow. And a lot of people were in on it. And they got caught. They got caught red-handed. And I look forward to the Durham report, which is coming out in the not-too-distant future. He's got his own information, which is this information plus, plus, plus. And it's an incredible thing that happened, and we're lucky we caught him. I think I'm going to put this down as one of our great achievements.
So President Trump said all that, and I just want to pause for a second. What was President Trump doing when he was interrupted by the dishonest press? What kind of roundtable was he hosting? What kind of discussion was he facilitating? What was he doing? President Donald Trump was doing the thing that I said, the five words to get President Trump reelected in 2020, a school choice for black kids. Five words. President Trump was in the White House cabinet room for a discussion on school choice for black children. I kid you not. And he's interrupted by impeachment, IG report. So the president of the United States is trying to structurally fix black and urban communities. Communities that didn't vote for him, by the way. I want you to think about this. The president of the United States is going out of his way to better communities that voted against him by almost 90%. So let me get this straight. The United States of America could win two world wars, build the Panama Canal, get to the moon, have 18 out of 20 of the top research universities in the world, be the most generous, the richest, the most benevolent, creative, accepting country in the history of the world. But we can't educate our kids in the urban cities. That's a problem. And so when President Trump says, I'm a nationalist, that means he cares about its citizens. That means he cares about the people within our own country. He cares about the fact that you can go to five schools in Baltimore and you can't find one black kid in those black schools that can read at grade level. And you can't find one kid that can do math at the fifth grade level. Not one kid. So President Trump was talking about school choice for black kids. And you know who's getting in the way of school choice for black kids? Teacher unions, public sector unions. All that is true. But also this impeachment nonsense. And to Nancy Pelosi out there, you know, the phrase shame on you is overused. I think that's an overuse. Oh, shame on you. Shame on you. If you use a phrase too much, the repetition dilutes the actual impact of the phrase. I think that's fair to say. So, Nancy Pelosi, how dare you, to use a phrase from The Truant. And if you don't know what I'm talking about when I say The Truant, go back two episodes ago. You go to the episode, download it, where I talk about The Truant, where she said, how dare you? She's on a boat somewhere, you know, traveling. It takes a month for her to get anywhere. She's talking to people. How dare you? So Nancy Pelosi, how dare you impeach this president when you know it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate, when you know that it's going to be up against a firewall? How dare you go against this president in the way that you are while kids in the inner cities cannot read? When kids in the inner cities have no chance of success, where you know that if they cannot read at grade level, that they are more likely to get into gang violence, that they are more likely to get into single fatherhood or single motherhood, that they're more likely to get in this endless cycle of destruction. And you're, do you know what, you know the best way I could describe this is that impeachment is specifically a ruling class phenomenon. Impeachment is something that honestly only people in the highest levels of income in this country care about. Do you really think that the mother that is worried about the safety of her home on the south side of Chicago, about her kid learning to read, she's worried about her six-year-old son, that statistics show that if he's not reading correctly or if he's not reading proficiently in the next couple years, she knows in her heart, she knows in her soul, that if her kid is not reading in the next 2 years, that there's a high likelihood that he will drop out of school and join a gang and might die. She knows that in her spirit. Do you think she's really worried about this ruling class phenomenon called impeachment so that the Santa Monica leftist soccer moms or the Upper East Side individuals in Manhattan can toast to victory that they got impeachment through the House of Representatives? No, the black mother on the south side of Chicago who is fighting to get by, who's making sure that she could just keep it all together, maybe in a fatherless home, maybe not, but statistics show that she is in a fatherless home more times than not, 70%+ times. Do you think she's glued to the TV screen, worrying about what this Burke guy says, this Democrat donor Burke, who, by the way, has given more to Democrats than she probably has earned in her low-wage job over the last 3 years? You think she's worried about that? No, she's worried about the one thing the president actually tried to address today, while the IG report goes into trying to remove this president, while the impeachment circus, the Marxist circus, is continuing, while every Democrat running for the presidency in this power-hungry carousel is happening. What she cares about is that her six-year-old son in the south side of Chicago might end up having a chance to read. Because she knows if he has a chance to read and can do math, he might be able to break out of this cycle of destruction that's happening in the south side of Chicago. She might not like Trump. She might not even understand Trump, but she's worried about real life issues. And just a news flash to the Upper East Coast elitist Malibu and Manhattan ruling class. There are people really struggling in America right now. Look, we have the lowest ever black unemployment rate. We have wages going up. We have people working. But there are still people really scrapping to get by. There are people that are still fighting tooth and nail. And President Trump being a president for all Americans, and he's not a member of the ruling class. He's not a member of the D.C. Acela power structure, was actually hosting a roundtable today to fix these problems. That, I think, is the greatest story out of today. President Trump hosts a roundtable for educational freedom to make kids' lives better while the ruling class tries to impeach him and the deep state tries to cover up their activities. And we have evidence of Peter Strzok. Peter Strzok or Peter Stroke or Peter Strzok, Strzok, Stroke, Smirk. Don't edit that, by the way. Strzok, Strzok, Smirk. That's what Rush, the great one, Rush calls him. Actually, the great one's Mark Levin. The oracle is Rush. I call Rush the oracle, the great one, Levin. You have to pay homage to the founding fathers and the Mount Rushmore of conservatism. On the Mount Rushmore, conservatism is both Rush and Levin, and I will let you guys guess who the rest are on my Mount Rushmore of American conservatism. That will be a different episode for a different time. But we have the text messages from Peter Strzok, Strzok, Smirk, who says, we have to inform President Obama what we're doing. If a Republican did this, guys, they would be put in prison so quickly and they would throw away the key. We have Mike Flynn. a decorated war hero, who's being on the verge of going to prison for far less. We have Roger Stone, who was loyal to the president and was being way over prosecuted. We have Paul Manafort in prison. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so anyway, I'm going to go a little bit into the IG report. I'm just very disappointed because I think the Biggs report is John Durham. And I think President Trump is hosting this amazing forum right now for school choice for black kids. And that's the real story. So what did we learn from this IG report? Number one, the IG report found 17 significant errors or omissions in the FISA application for Carter Page. Fine. I want to play the sound again of the president because I kind of got on this sidetrack of the school choice for black kids. Let's play this sound again from the president. We'll play it shorter, just a little bit shorter. So you guys got an idea of what we're talking about the they fabricated evidence for a couple sentences.
Well, they fabricated evidence and they lied to the courts and they did all sorts of things to have it go their way. And this was something that we can never allow to happen again. The report actually, and especially when you look into it and the details of the report, are far worse than anything I would have even imagined what they were doing and what they would have done if I didn't make a certain move that was a very important move, because it would have been even worse, if that's possible.
Okay, they did fabricate evidence. 17 significant errors or omissions in the FISA application. The application relied on the discredited work of Christopher Steele, despite its numerous factual inaccuracies and Steele receiving funding from the Democrats. The FBI received information that, quote, raising significant questions, end quote, about Steele's findings, end quote, did not press Steele for information, end quote, about who was funding his work. McCabe, Comey, and others wanted to rely on Steele despite knowing of concerns that Steele was being funded by Clinton and the DNC. An FBI attorney changed an email connected to the FISA application and is now the subject of a criminal investigation as a result. In other words, the FBI defrauded the FISA court and purposely omitted exculpatory information. Exculpatory means exonerating information that would have not allowed the FISA to be approved. Comey signed off on the Carter Page FISA application as, quote, factually and legally sufficient, end quote, despite the CIA calling the contents of the Steele dossier on the same level as internet rumors. Then wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post hours after release claiming vindication. We also learned that we now have provable, verifiable foreign interference in our elections, beyond, of course, the well-publicized allegations on Russian and Ukrainian interference. So you go through the Christopher Steele thing, who was a foreign agent. It's right there in the IG report that says the following, quote, Steele stated that he had asked Bruce Orr, who works for the FBI, whose wife worked for Fusion GPS. Of course, no coincidence there. Nothing wrong there. Nothing to see here. Possibly handling Agent 1 prior to late October 2016, why the U.S. government had not announced that the FBI was investigating allegations concerning the Trump campaign. So this pure and simple with Christopher Steele was foreign interference in our elections and was funded by the DNC and the American taxpayer. So if you're listening to this as an American taxpayer, you are funding this garbage. I mean, it's incomprehensible. This is collusion between the government, the American taxpayer, the DNC. And the inspector general is saying there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I don't like being cynical. I'm a very optimistic person. People that spend time with me know I always focus on the positive, and we have to grow and we have to always be thinking forward. But I am losing faith in our institutions right now. This is unacceptable. But look, we knew that the IG report might let down Republicans. Why? Because IG Horowitz only sees part of the picture and he wants to continue to be invited to the right cocktail parties and make sure his kids get into Ivy League schools, that he doesn't get kicked out of the country club in Chevy Chase, Maryland, so that he continues to get treated as some sort of scholarly figure that gave some sort of harsh scolding to Peter Strzok-Smirk and the lover, Lisa Page. It's really disappointing. Justice is dying in front of our eyes. Bill Barr, though, is coming to the rescue like a phoenix out of the ashes. Bill Barr rises. He says the following today. He scolded them. So did John Durham, who is overseeing a larger criminal probe, by the way, into the origins of the Russian investigation. Both issued their own statements. Attorney General Barr on the IG report said the following, quote, the Inspector General's report now makes it clear that the FBI launched an intrusive investigation of a U.S. presidential campaign on the thinnest of suspicions that, in my view, were insufficient to justify the steps taken. It is also clear that from its inception, the evidence produced by the investigation was consistently exculpatory. Nevertheless, the investigation and surveillance was pushed forward for the duration of the campaign and deep into President Trump's administration. In the rush to obtain and maintain FISA surveillance of Trump campaign associates, FBI officials misled the FISA court, omitted critical exculpatory facts in their filings, and suppressed our or ignored information, negating the reliability of their principal source. The Inspector General found the explanations given for these actions unsatisfactory, Attorney General Bill Barr. John Durham, U.S. Attorney John Durham on IG report, said the following. I have the utmost respect for the mission of the Office of Inspector General and the comprehensive work that went into the report prepared by Mr. Horowitz and his staff. However, our investigation is not limited to developing information from within components, parts of the Justice Department. Our investigation has included developing information from other persons and entities both in the U.S. and outside the United States based on the evidence collected to date. And while our investigation is ongoing, last month we advised the Inspector General that we do not agree with some of the report's conclusions as to predication on how the FBI case was opened. Durham, unlike Horowitz, can file criminal charges and form a grand jury. Durham has access to former intelligence community officials, including Comey, Clapper, McCabe, Brennan, and Peter Strzok. So guys, in closing, the deep state tries to cover their tracks. Democrats try to impeach Trump despite his popularity. And President Trump tries to deliver results and make black kids' lives better. Who's the villain in this story? They always say, like, oh, Donald Trump's the bad one. Donald Trump's hosting a roundtable for school choice for black kids to have vouchers to improve our inner cities. And while he's doing that, the deep state is going after him, trying to cover their tracks. And the Democrats doing everything they can to fulfill the ruling class mandate that if you don't like a president, he must be punished and everyone around him must suffer. We at the Charlie Kirk Show are going to continue to go a level deeper, dive into the real analysis of what's happening in the news that no one else is talking about, and give you the straight facts time and time again. We have a great show planned tomorrow. We have an AMA coming up Thursday, Ask Me Anything. And I want you guys to email your questions in now to freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Email us your questions. And if you guys want to get involved with the largest and fastest growing and most powerful student organization in the country, Turning Point USA, or attend one of our events, it's tpusa.com. We have the Student Action Summit coming up. We got Ben Shapiro, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Dan Crenshaw, Candace Owens, Don Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, and many others. And we might have a huge speaker to be announced. That's all I'm going to say. It's tpusa.com/SAS. That's tpusa.com/SAS. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Please type in the Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider right now. Make sure you are a subscriber to the Charlie Kirk Show. Press subscribe if you're not. Go down, give us those 5-star ratings, and leave us a review. This is Charlie Kirk, host of the Charlie Kirk Show, your home of conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Thanks so much, guys. Till next time.
During the season of giving, we'd like to offer you a little something special, and all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time. We need you to complete a short survey because your opinion matters to us and helps support the show. It'll only take a couple of minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastone.study, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.study. The first 150 people to complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. So please go to podcastone.study, and as always, thank you for supporting the show. And happy holidays from all of us at Podcast One.